Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively coming at you still from Arlington, Texas, even though it looks like I'm at Camden Yards. Luke is here. He will be there in Owings Mills beginning next week. We're going to get some Ravens into this segment, but certainly continuing on our Oriole theme. On Friday, we're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour at Drug City, my beautiful homeland of Dundalk. It's my 55th birthday on Saturday. Celebrating on Friday at Drug City at the Tasting Room up above the fountain. Come on by. There's a rumor that Luke Jones has never been to Drug City, so we're going to try to drag him out, maybe some other folks as well. We'll have some Maryland Lottery scratch-offs to give away, some Raven scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Window Nation supporting us at 86690Nation and Jiffy Lube Multicare right around the corner from the Jiffy Lube I've been going to all my life on Merritt Boulevard, Merritt and German Hill Road. So that's my Jiffy Lube. If you have one, please get your car in and support our friends and local sponsors that keep us going and take us down to Arlington, Texas, including Hollywood Casino on Sunday. We'll be up in Perryville for the Ravens game, bright and early. I think Ravens season officially kicked in right around 10:15 on Tuesday night. Luke, for you, with what transpired and the sudden halt, and I think that's the first thing you and I were talking about when we were walking out of the stadium in Arlington, walking past Jerry's World, walking past a perfectly functional baseball ballpark that used to be called the ballpark. That's now something else. I don't know what they're doing. But we're here at Arlington. But the one thing walking through the parking lot, we said, man, this is sort of sudden, isn't it? Right. And it's sudden in football, but much more so when there's this grind every night, there's this build. And dude, in the end, we bought playoff tickets. We went down there. We set our dials. We gave them money for the ALCS next week. This wasn't a lot of fun. This was really, I mean, the Kansas City in 14, we had our Delmon Young. We had our fun. Yeah. In 16, there was that Zach Britton moment where it could have, should have, would have been or whatever. Almost beat the Yankees in 12. I mean, should have beat the Yankees. I don't know, dude. This was, for all the fun we had, this was very sudden, very shocking, and they didn't show up. I mean, they didn't show up for the fight. They really didn't.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to argue against that point, Nestor. I mean, it was wildly disappointing. You're talking about a team that won 101 games. I mean, so many great regular season memories and come from behind wins, and how many times this team, it's why so many of us still weren't ready to write them off even after falling behind 0-2, because we'd seen this team come back from the brink how many different times this year. You know, whether, you know, 4th of July they had lost 6 of 7 and they reel off an 8-game winning streak, the season high, and you know what they did in September at a couple of different points where things started to go sideways. So, you know, there was part of you that was hoping to see one last come back from the dead kind of a moment for this Orioles club, and they just didn't have it in them. And it's tough, you know, at a couple different points.
Force a game four, right?
Well, yeah,
game,
yeah.
You know, right, yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's just, it's really tough in that way. I mean, you and I were talking about this last week with the ALCS in 14. I mean, that was a sweep. You know, you never want to be swept. You never feel good about that. Each of those four games were a one-run or a two-run loss. I mean, there was so much you could point to and say, well, if they got a hit here, or Kansas City didn't bloop this ball in. I mean, my goodness, remember how many hits they had that, not as though they crushed the baseball. They just found grass. And, you know, but there was just, there wasn't that moment in this series. You know, there was nothing other than just the crowd leading into game one. And having been there, experiencing that, the rain delay, you know, I mean, the park was full for a while before that game started. But in terms of the in-game action, it's just nothing you can point to that you'll remember at all. I mean, what, Aaron Hicks with the two-run single in the bottom of the first in game two? I mean,
they won't be printing T-shirts for that one. I don't
think. Exactly. We're not going to be remembering that like the Delmon Young double is remembered. So it's rough. I mean, it's rough that, you know, they have an 8-game postseason losing streak, and of course that goes back way before any of these guys that are currently on the team. But it's really disappointing not to get any kind of a fun moment in this 3-game sweep. You know, I mean, it wouldn't be fun anyway, but if Gunnar Henderson hits a tying home run in game two and they lose in 11 innings, at least you're pointing to, wow, that was some kind of moment right there. But you never got that. I mean, game one, they just didn't hit. You know, maybe if they execute the hit and run, maybe if Aaron Hicks doesn't miss the sign there and they tie the game and then Texas scores in the 10th, maybe you're pointing to that. But the in-game moments were just few and far between for the Orioles. And, I mean, they were blown out the last two games. You know, and I know they made the score look semi-respectable in game two, but that was a blowout. We know that. So, I mean, that's where it's just, yeah, you had so much excitement, and rightfully so. They were 101 and 61. I mean, they were phenomenal this year. But
the highlight of the ALDS was Billy Joel. Not even Billy Joel, it was more Stevie Nicks, I thought. Yeah.
I mean, it's tough to say. Like I said, or just the crowd's energy before game one. I mean, it was loud. It wasn't Delmon Young loud, but it was loud. I mean, it really was. Game two, it was a little more nervousness mixed into that energy. And then, I mean, game three, again, fans were trying to hold out hope. You and I talked about this, you know, when we were talking about this Monday morning, that, you know, don't count this team out entirely. Yeah, it's an uphill battle. No question about that, but don't count them out. And they just,
well, they were a special team, dude. I mean, they were like, we'll talk about this the rest of our lives. And they never got swept until they did, right? They did all this with all these young players who had never done it before. Yeah. I mean, it was a glorious, glorious season. But now we have to pick up the pieces and say, and I told you this when we got on the plane to Arlington. I said, the minute the season's over, it's the lease. And free agency and the offseason and money. It's money now. Time for play. Now it's time for pay. And not necessarily for Gunnar Henderson or for Adley Rutschman or for whatever Nathan Eovaldi they're not going to sign in the offseason. To think there's going to be an ideological switch with these clowns. I mean, you saw how our press credentials were handled Tuesday night, right? Like, there's not going to be any ideological switch that, because they didn't sign Nathan Eovaldi last year, they'll do that this year. That there will be a two-year, $35 million pitcher that they're going to sign. And they're going to go out and do things the way normal businesses would. They don't operate like a normal business. And I know that's really hard for everybody to understand, but it's not for anybody that's done business with them. So I would just say that the minute this ends, we go back into that, all right, how are you going to do it again? And even if you do it again, it's like Lamar. You're not really anything to your October. They get off to a 21-8 start next year and blaze on. And at the All-Star break, they got a 6-game lead. We'd all say, okay, who's your game one starter?
Well, I don't think we need to be that dismissive of it, but your point's well taken. Sure. I mean, let's just say to make this lazy argument, because I don't actually believe that the Orioles were just happy to be there, but they played like it. If we're going to call a spade, I mean, they weren't ready for it. Their performance suggested they weren't ready for it. So I'm not going to go as far as say they won't sign a pitcher to a two-year $34 million contract, because they've signed pitchers. You know, they signed Ubaldo Jimenez way back when, but
not John. John has never done any of this.
I understand that, Nestor.
At some point, Mike's going to get down the hallway and ask for money. I just don't know how that's going to go. That's the thing to watch.
I agree with that. I'm not going to sit here and say it won't happen. But until it does happen, skepticism is 1,000% warranted. I'm not disagreeing with you on that point. I'm just going to say,
yeah. I'm not of the mindset that John Angelos is going to operate this well, because he sat in front of Dan Connolly and said, I'm going to open my books. Every time he opens his mouth, he's lying. Fair. Like, you know, you were in the clubhouse. I wasn't. They fought with Major League Baseball for 5 hours before the game about the fact that I was in the building. Like, that happened. I witnessed this. That happened while they were down 2-0 in Texas. This is the stuff. This is how it's a microcosm. It's my experience. It's my walk in life. But it's the way they behave, not just towards me, towards life. And they need to sell tickets. They're going to caravan. This is my season, Luke, not who they're going to play. The offseason is the business side, and it's the how are you going to run your place? You've had all of the success that you've had. What are you doing with the money that you've usurped from people from ALCS? Are you giving it back to them? Are you paying it forward to season tickets? Are people happy? Are the fans happy with the business experience of this? Is Dennis going to buy a 13-game plan next year? Is Leonard? You know what I mean? The people we know that have gone to games, because that's really what they need. They need you to buy in. So John Angelos, and I'll speak for him right now. Hey, you know, Dennis, Leonard, you want Gunnar Henderson signed. I need the money. I really need the money in order to make that happen. And I understand that part of it. Yeah. And that's where we're going into the offseason with all this messy stuff where you can't get a lease done. And that's why I'm saying, To you, Mr. Baseball Nerd Fan Guy, well, it's just 2 years and $35 million. We've done that before. To John Angelos, it's, do you know how much money $35 million is? Do you know how much I owe the Nationals? You know, like, his mind doesn't work the way our minds work. And it's his his offseason. It's his team.
Sure. Yeah, look, I'm skeptical. I absolutely am. But at the same time, I would say, your revenue was up this year because you did draw more people to the ballpark. Maybe not as many as you wanted to, but it was still a sizable bump.
Well, then he'll say, I'll show you my books, and then we'll show you the books.
Well, but I'm just saying, we know that it's bull when you say you can't afford a two-year, $34 million contract. Now, if you want to say you're not in the space to offer a $120 million contract, then okay. That, while I still wouldn't believe that, that at least is, let's say, more believable than 2 years, 34. The point is, skepticism's warranted. We understand that. We'll continue to talk about that, Nestor. That's not an early or mid-October conversation. That's a anytime conversation. So, you know, we'll see how that's going to play out. But there should be lots of momentum for this organization from a business side, not talking in terms of just baseball ops and what you can do to improve your club, you know, with external, you know, signings or trades or what have you. But, you know, from a business side, you should be able to capitalize, even with this three-game sweep. You know, people who I follow in my life on social media, even some people that I would view as negative, you know, when it comes to their sports teams, because we all know, we all have people in our lives that are like that, that just tend to be on the more pessimistic side. Even before I went to bed in the wee hours of the morning after Tuesday's loss, I saw people posting, you know, this stinks right now, but gosh, this season was fun. And you know, my kids were excited about it.
Stinks a lot less than 112 losses, I'll tell you that.
No doubt.
I'm in Dallas right now, for crying out loud. I like, it doesn't stink. It's October. No. We played playoff baseball. We were in a stadium. They lost. Yeah. And we have to figure out how they're going to get better.
Right. So, but in the meantime, I think there's still a thirst and enthusiasm and excitement about where this team is right now and where it's heading, and understanding that there are still a lot of good young players on the way. The guy who might be the best, there's a guy that, you know, in Jackson Holliday, who might be better than Gunnar Henderson. And that sounds crazy because Gunnar's going to be the rookie of the year. And I've said on our airwaves that I could see Gunnar Henderson being an MVP or someone who's in the realm of Corey Seager in a couple years, you know, and I say that as a compliment. Jackson Holliday might be better than Gunnar. I'm not saying he definitely is, and
but
he hasn't done it. Well, sure. Well, of course. But the point is, they have a lot going for them. But yes, and we talked about this at the trade deadline. We talked about this last offseason when, you know, when I was saying that how underwhelmed I was by what they did, you know, with their offseason last year. They are at an inflection point. And I thought they were at this point, to me, maybe not so much last offseason, because you're still projecting. They won 83 games. It's not as though they were, you know, guaranteed to be a juggernaut this year. But now when you're talking about a team that won a division, was the number one seed in the AL, has all these young players, but very clearly still has some areas on the roster that can be upgraded, this is absolutely the inflection point now. This is where Mike Elias and John Angelos giving Mike Elias the wherewithal and the resources to go make a move or two. It doesn't have to be something crazy. Like I said, Nathan Eovaldi, 2 years, $34 million with a vesting option. You know, that to me is, should, and I emphasize should, be completely doable and reasonable and something that's not going to, you know, put you in peril financially. I mean, get out of here. I mean, look at how little they spent on baseball players this past year and all the success they still had, you know, because it is such a young team. But I've said, other people have said this, you've said it at different times, they were going to reach an inflection point where you start to say, all right, you've done all this phenomenal building from within. You have such a great core of young players who have either arrived in the major leagues already or are on the way. At some point in time, you're going to have to go out and augment. And all right, you know, Kyle Gibson gave them exactly what I thought he would give them, which was a high floor, solid, back end of the rotation kind of performance. Great. You know, I never liked the Adam Frazier signing, but hey, he hit a bunch of home runs in the first half of the season, and he had some good moments for this team. Fine. I'm okay with that. James McCann, upgrade over Robinson Chirinos as their backup catcher. Fine. But we're still not talking about moves that really move the needle, Nestor. I mean, we understand that. So to me, they're at the point now where what can you do to go out via trade, via signing, free agent signing, to augment what you have? Because this young core deserves that. We talked about this at the trade deadline, that they deserved to have some reinforcements brought in to help their cause. And it didn't work out. You know, Fujinami just wasn't good, was way more bad than good. And Jack Flaherty was a complete flop. I mean, it just was. Let's call it what it was. It happens. It happens. Go take a look at some of the other pitchers that were acquired at the trade deadline by various teams. There weren't a ton that worked out.
Oh, dude, they were not one pitcher away from winning this series, right? They weren't one Nathan Evaldi. I mean,
of course.
I don't want to say that at this point, right? I mean, they were the yips for young guys who went out and didn't perform well in front of big crowds in the moment, in the same way that Nathan Evaldi didn't perform well the first time out, or Aaron Hicks, or some other guys who had some seasoning. So they're really, as I get older and get a little bit more wisdom about baseball in this way, I've learned things this week. And certainly this 22 is 22, man. You know what I mean? When you get to be 55 like me, you look back at 22 and say, well, you know, I mean, and Henderson's not the guy. I mean, he played well, which, you know, bends in the direction of paying him, right? Or that he's a dude. He's a pile diver in the end. He'll be a part of the next parade we have here. You have to believe that, right? But to some of the other guys, you know, I didn't love what I saw from Grayson Rodriguez. And I know he's made of the type of metal that everybody believes he'll bounce back and he'll have 15 more postseason starts in his career and he'll pitch well. And I agree with that. But I do think that there is that seasoning that has to happen, even for Brandon Hyde as a manager, where I thought Bruce Bochy just, I mean, I was in the room with Bruce twice. I was in the post-game interview room, you know, over the week in Arlington. And he's just, and I've known Bruce 30 years. I mean, there's a reason he's still playing baseball next week. Really?
Yeah. I mean, and
if managing didn't matter, they wouldn't have hired him. Right.
Right. And managers get, Bruce Bochy would be the first to tell you he's a way better manager now than he was 20 years ago. You know, or 25 years.
In the dugout, in the World Series in 98, where they got swept.
Yeah.
I was in his post-game press conference that night in San Diego, where they just got overwhelmed by the Yankees. And you say, how and why? Well, the Yankees had six Hall of Famers. We had Tony Gwynn.
and sometimes, and that's not the best example necessarily, because the Yankees were clearly the better team in that series. And, you know, look how many games they won that year. But
Bruce Bochy learned things that he used this week.
Sure. Yeah. And you know what? Everything you just said is true in terms of experience and, you know, getting better and going through some adversity and losing early on. But you know what? Sometimes you just lose too. It's baseball. You know, I keep using the Clayton Kershaw. I'm not trying to pick on Kershaw, but I mean, I keep using that example of someone who is absolutely a first ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best pitchers of the last quarter century. And, you know, his postseason record isn't anything to write home about. You know, it's hard. It's tough to do this. Everyone's vying for the same thing. There's one team that's going to be happy at the end of this. And every other team that's still playing right now is going to have their moment like the Orioles experienced Tuesday night. So that's
well,
not
dude,
to
Dennis
be
Eckersley was the best pitcher on earth, and Kirk Gibson was washed up, and Roy Hobbs and couldn't walk, and there was just no way that was going to happen, but it happened.
Yeah, and there's a perfect example. The Oakland A's were a superior team to the Dodgers that year, almost in every way you can imagine. But for that series, they weren't, and that's
and
part
Eckersley's
of it.
Eckersley's going to the effing Hall of Fame, and Kirk Gibson's going to the Hall of Pretty Good. You know, that's
all. A legend, you know, a legend in different ways, but yeah, not a Hall of Fame player in the same way. So, I mean, it's October. You know, I said this before this season or before this series even started. Quite often, the best team does not win. The Orioles, you know, they won 11 more games than the Rangers did over the course of the season. Now, the Rangers, I'll point out this, they had a better run differential. And sometimes that's why us baseball nerds look at things like that, because sometimes that's how you project what's going to happen in the future. Not that, you know, I picked the Orioles to win in five, you know, so I'm not saying I expected the Rangers to win the series, but, you know, it doesn't always go to plan. You know, Buck Showalter used to always say that, you know, he would say this was always about getting to October and then what? Roll the dice, because you really don't know what's going to happen, who gets hot at the right time, who's healthy at the right time, who's more banged up, who isn't playing their best. I mean, the 5-day layoff, you know, the thing I would say about that as far as it impacting the bats, I mean, the Orioles didn't swing the bats very well the last two and a half weeks of the regular season. It was a very spotty, inconsistent September for them when it came to scoring runs. Did the 5-day layoff help that? Well, clearly not. But they were already maybe going.
Oh,
in the
Frazier
wrong direction.
Stunk, Mullen stunk, Mountcastle got hurt.
Rutschman stunk.
Rutschman stunk. I mean, we go down the line, right?
Right. I mean, but it happens. You know, we mentioned that at the Eddie Murray example. Eddie in 1979 compared to Eddie hitting two home runs in the clincher in '83. I mean, it's a game of failure. At the end of the day, it's why guys like me love baseball before any other sport. There is so much failure involved. And I mean, it's tough, especially when it's magnified and you go through those kind of struggles. I had a moment, you know, just, you know, not to get off track of the point I was making here, but, you know, I chatted with Cedric Mullins for, you know, an extra minute after he did his, you know, did his media session. And, you know, he was asked about the injuries. I mean, this is a guy who had the groin injury on Memorial Day. If you asked me who my MVO, my most valuable Oriole was in late May, it might have been Cedric Mullins. Go back and look at how well he played over the first 2 months of the season. He never got back on track. I mean, yes, he got back and played and got off the IL.
It was a reason that Aaron Hicks got here, right? Literally.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I asked him after he was done. I said, you know, do you have to get a surgery or anything like that? He said, you know, no, I mean, I don't think so, but it was a grind for him. I mean, he was playing, even though he did appear to run a little bit better as he got, you know, further removed from the last IL stint, but there's a lot of maintenance that went into that. He was spending a lot of time in the trainer's room. And
well,
he
the
just,
next 90 days, he doesn't have to go out and play baseball.
He
days
just,
a week,
right.
Yeah.
And he just said he had so many start stop moments where he felt like he was getting back to being the guy he wanted to be. I mean, think about coming out of the All-Star break. Go look at what he did the first two games of that Marlins series. He was like 4-for-5, 5-for-6 with like 3 extra base hits. I mean, he was looking like, hey, okay, this looks like Cedric Mullins, you know, from 2 years ago. And then he gets hurt again, you know, so it was a grind for him. And he's not making an excuse. He said, I didn't play well. I didn't play well down the stretch. But at the same time, we know that guys are banged up and guys are, you know, dealing with injuries, or even if they're not injuries, they're all hurt this time of year. I mean, go ask Brian Ebel how busy the trainer room is before and after every game this time of year. And that's not an Orioles only thing. That's every team around baseball. But the point is, it's the team that might be the healthiest at that moment in time, the team that gets hot, the team that does something really well, you know, one specific area of the game that's really underrated that kind of shows up in October, you know, or you have the Rangers who, you know, Eovaldi and Jordan Montgomery, they've got some postseason experience. My goodness, they might get Max Scherzer back for the ALCS. I mean, I don't care, you know, whether you, how much you like Max Scherzer or not, the idea that he could be added to that rotation with the way they've played in October so far, look out, Houston or Minnesota.
Hey,
I mean,
I'll say
that would
this
worry me.
Just from being down here in Arlington, and I have, you know, this is the worst place on earth other than the friends that we hung out with on Tuesday and had a good time. But like the Dallas-Houston baseball thing next week, that's a wildfire, right? Like,
sure,
that ain't never been done before. It's kind of one of the reasons they sort of set this thing up and moved the Astros over, not really believing the Astros would be the stronger, bigger brother of the relationship. But you talk about Yankees, Red Sox, or Padres, Dodgers, or Giants, Dodgers, or, you know, think Cubs, Cardinals, things that fire the sport up, you know, Houston versus Texas in a really nasty 7-game series. You know, cities hate each other. They hate each other.
Be a lot of fun. And Major League Baseball probably won't love it as much from as far as the geographic footprint there and, you know, ratings for the rest of the country. But as a baseball fan, fully disappointed that we're not going to
continue to
see the
Orioles. I'll tell you
this,
it'll fire up the Latin community because the Rangers and the Astros have a huge, huge
Latin
following.
Oh, sure, sure.
Yeah.
But just in general, I mean, that's a matchup I'll be glued in front of the TV to watch. I mean, that's...
I hate them both. Yeah, it's great.
That'll be fun.
I become a Phillies fan or a National League fan all of a sudden.
Sure, there you go. So, I mean, you know, but the Astros, 15, they were in the playoffs as a wild card. They got eliminated, and 2 years later they're world champions, and they've won again, you know, won multiple times. And trash can scandal aside,
I was going to say, I'll remind you, they cheated. Yeah, I'll just remind you.
But also an extraordinarily talented team, because they're not banging on trash cans anymore, and they've won titles since then, and they are what they are right now. And that doesn't mean anyone has to like them. I'm not an Astros fan, but the point is, and I'll continue to come back to that. You look at all these teams that are still playing. You know, the Rangers maybe being the exception, but the Rangers, they went and got hired guns, right? They spent a ton of money. Even guys that aren't playing for them right now when you look at DeGrom. But, you know, a lot of these teams did not win the first time. They didn't win the second time. Some of them didn't win the third time. Look at the Nationals, how many times they had failures until they finally broke through in 19. So the Orioles are going to be back. They need to figure out how to get better, how to augment this roster. But, boy, a lot of that improvement is just going to come with Gunnar Henderson being 23 rather than 22, and Adley Rutschman being a year older, and Grayson Rodriguez and Kyle Bradish being a year older. I mean, that's a lot to be excited about, even with the questions about ownership and payroll and all that. There is so much to be excited about in terms of this baseball team, these players, this coaching staff, this general manager, if he can, you know, get the financial commitment from ownership that's adequate at least. I mean, that's... there's a lot to be excited about when you look at those variables. So disappointing, yes, absolutely disappointing. But Orioles fans have a lot to feel great about, and nothing will take away how fun this season was. It came to me, 1989 on steroids, you know, and maybe that's not the best way to describe it, given it's baseball and the history of the sport. But I mean, such a surprising season, such a fun season, disappointing ending, but it's a lot to be excited about moving forward.
We are in Arlington, Texas, but headed back to Baltimore, Maryland. We'll be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday at Drug City in Dundalk. We're going to be at the fountain upstairs in the tasting room having crab cakes. They have gourmet potato chips, Luke. I know that may be hard for you to, because I haven't upsold Drug City enough to you Shrewsbury folks to come on down. But, I mean, we're talking about scratch soda. They have soda jerks there. The guys aren't jerks. They're soda jerks. So come on by. We'll have a good time on Friday. Celebrate my 55th birth. it's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Win donation 866-90-NATION as well. And they buy two, get two free this month at Win Donation. Also, great financing plans as well. Love my windows, and the weather's changing. And Jiffy Lube MultiCare, right around the corner from you and me and our location at Drug City. I go to the Merritt Boulevard location over at German Hill Road. Jiffy Lube now with us as part of our Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Sunday morning, we are at Hollywood Casino in Perryville, bright and early. Luke and I will get back to the business of John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson and offense and Todd Monken and injuries and all of that stuff. The Ravens are in London Sunday morning. We have a $30 brunch deal. You don't have to buy it. You can buy it. If you do, you get involved to be able to win some money as well. Coming up to Hollywood Casino, no better place to watch the games. Beautiful TVs, great, great food. It'll be early in the morning. Come on by, watch the games all day with us. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.